two folks are losing their rights. It's the place where, you know, there's the highest child poverty and women in poverty and African Americans in poverty and white people in poverty. And so we wanted us to get together to talk about where are we going from here. How is the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, continuing to organize? And why it is that next week on December 5th, the anniversary of us calling for the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and the anniversary of Dr. King calling for a Poor People's Campaign now 51 years ago, we are going to return to Washington, D.C., return to the Capitol, come with our demands in hand, you know, come with, you know, a power and a force that reminds people that, as we said throughout the organizing of the past couple of years, that somebody has been hurting our people and it's gone on for far too long and we won't be silent anymore. So as you all know, this past spring, tens of thousands of you led the largest and most expansive simultaneous wave of nonviolent civil disobedience in the 21st century. You know, we had people of all races and all genders, all religions, all walks of life, poor people and low-wage workers, advocates, clergy, surging capitals in 40 states, surging the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. to call attention to a fusion movement, the moral issues of our day that are breaking out. And so we, you know, as you all know, we launched this campaign with the understanding that we must address simultaneously these five interlocking injustices of systemic racism, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, the war economy, and this distorted moral narrative of religious nationalism. And when we started talking about those five interlocking injustices, we said that a penetration point is voter suppression, that you can see that this attack on our democracy, the attack on people to be able to choose the folks that should represent the issues that they're most important to them, you know, has this cascading effect. And so we're having to ready ourselves to go back to the Capitol, to go back to our state capitals, and to continue to fight for our demands. We need to continue to put our politicians on notice that we have a moral agenda and that we're organizing or we're building power so that they can't elude our demands. Because we know that in American history, whenever we faced forces of regression, moral movements have arisen to call us to higher ground. You know, that's what abolitionists did in the 19th century. It's what women suffragists and labor activists did in the early 20th century. It's what Rosa Parks and Dr. King and many, many, many others did in the 50s and 60s around segregation and Jim Crow and systemic racism. And it's what King and Rosa Parks and others continued in the launching of the Poor People's Campaign 50 years ago. And so what we wanted to do is get folks on this call this evening, have a chance to you know, hear a little bit more of an analysis about how we see the situation that's happening in this country right now, how we understand what happened in the midterms and what it means for us to move forward and continue to organize, and why it is that we're going back to Washington, D.C. next week and have a whole plan of work over the next months to be able to build and organize and continue to shift this narrative. So I want to, you know, be able to pass it over to Reverend Dr. William Barber, the co-chair of the campaign, who is going to go into a little bit more depth about, you know, what we're seeing in different states, especially in the South, and what it means for the kind of work and organizing that that you know we need to do. And then what we want to talk about after Reverend Barber talks a little bit more about what's happening across across Georgia, across Mississippi, across North Carolina, and its significance is then announce that when we go to Washington, D.C. next week, when we, you know, remind ourselves of why we have to continue this fight, that we're calling for and will announce next week, but wanted to talk to our folks, you know, folks from the states, folks from the national partners, folks that have been a part of this campaign and supporting it with your bodies and your minds, and that we need a poor people's moral Congress, that we need to return in June of 2019, around the time of the June 23rd, you know, call to action rally that we did on the National Mall in 2018. We have to return and have a Congress with thousands of folks from all the states that are part of this campaign, and continue to unite around the demands that we have, continue to share organizing strategies for how we're building our communities, and to go into action together, to take action together, in a way that we're able to call our politicians to account, that we need to pass policies that ensure that everybody has voting rights, you know, automatic registration at the age of 18, reinstatement of the Voting Rights Act, you know, having multiple day voting, having same day registration. I mean, you know, tearing down all of these barriers to our voting rights, and then connecting that with single payer universal healthcare, connecting that with housing policies that provide housing for everybody, connecting that with equality in education, so that people are able to, you know, all kids have the right to a quality education. And then connecting it with an end to warmongering, an end to mass incarceration, and to go through all of those plans that we've put together, because we see how interact, we see to kind of build our unity and put folks on notice and action, and go into action together, in order to keep on building this campaign, keep on carrying out what it is that you know, we learn from studying civil disobedience movements in history. So you know, we wanted to kind of check in with folks here first, assess the situation that's happening in this country, and then talk about why it is that we are calling for folks to, you know, come to Washington next week, but then also for us to start planning for this Congress, for this moral agenda, for this Poor People's Congress, where we can bring our demands, and we can continue to, you know, put our bodies out there, tell our stories, shift the narrative, and build the kind of movement that we indeed need to build. So I want to also just kind of update folks. I know that Reverend Barber is going to share a little bit more about, you know, this assessment that we have around what's happening and why we're calling for a Poor People's Campaign. But you know, I really want to encourage folks to continue to follow the work that's happening in the states across the country. I mean, there's powerful organizing. We pulled off a series of different hearings in Kansas, in Missouri, Arkansas. Folks were in Mississippi last week, and Pennsylvania a couple weeks before. We've been in Washington State and California. And you know, indeed what's happening is that a movement is building in this country. And that is a movement that's coming from the ground up. And people are you know, organizing together, crossing all the barriers, that are, you know, are impacting people, and in a way that we're able to build a movement. You know, what we're doing, people are saying to us, is impossible, right? You can't have cattle ranchers and family farmers. You can't have undocumented immigrants and low-wage workers. You can't have homeless folks and teenagers all in a movement together. Well, we were in Kansas and we saw that. We were in Missouri and we saw that. We're in California right now and we see it. And so indeed this campaign is doing, you know, doing the impossible, if what is impossible is for people to come together and build a deep rooted moral movement. I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. I'm going to turn it to you, Shally, to see if there's other things to say, and then I can also, you know, close this out a little bit more if after that.
Yes, just apologies for the technical difficulties, and I think just adding to some of what we've seen kind of unfolding across the country. You know, before we went into this election, there were 23 states, according to the research that we'd done, that had passed some form of voter suppression law across the country, and in fact, there were more that were trying to do that. And those numbers have increased over time, even if gains are being made. And we were hearing in the field hearings across the country as well, you know, in Dodge City, there was one polling station for 7,000 people. And all of these all of these barriers to being able to exercise the sacred right. And so Reverend Theo Harris, maybe you'd like to also say more of what we will be doing next week in DC, and to address both, you know, the relationship of our right to vote with the other demands that we're making on our elected officials and representatives, and also where that's carrying us in this next phase of the campaign.
Great, thanks, Shally. So I was saying some of it before, but I just want to kind of restate a couple things. So indeed, next on December 5th, we will be in Washington, D.C. Anyone that is in the area or wants to be in the area, we would love to have you. We'll be gathering near the Capitol. We can send out some more information about that so that people can join us if you're so interested. We'll be putting together a press event and a mini kind of teach-in just so that people are able to see these connections. Because so often when we talk about the attack on voting rights, we separate it from the attack on immigrants. We separate it from the attack on healthcare. We separate it from the attack on LGBTQ communities. And what this campaign is trying to do is really unite those. And so so we're kind of in this press event and teach-in going to have a chance to talk a little bit more about how we're seeing that intersection playing out today. Indeed, I mean, as folks probably have been following this race in Mississippi, and why the campaign has been actually doing a number of mass meetings and events in the last couple of weeks, is because here you have a politician who's willing to make jokes about hanging people, to make jokes about lynching in a state like Mississippi that had the most number of people lynched, in history. At the same time as what she's proposing and what she stands for is strangling the lives and hopes of thousands and thousands of people, especially young people and people of all races in that state. And so that's happening because of this connection between systemic racism and voter suppression and how it connects to all of these different injustices that we're seeking to address. And so we'll have an event, and then we'll go into the Capitol and we'll deliver a letter that reminds the incoming Congress, the incoming elected officials, as well as those that are there right now, that what movements do in times like these is we put out, you know, what is needed to solve the problems that people are having, and then we put the pressure on until we win those demands. And so we will be, you know, delivering letters to all of the different elected officials, you know, just like reminding people that we weren't just here a year ago, we weren't just here 6 months ago, but that we're building and organizing, and we're not going to be silent until all people's needs are met. And as I said earlier, you know, and that will also bring about this call that we're having to have a Poor People's Moral Congress, also in Washington, D.C. this coming June. So we just wanted to kind of put some of those things out there, have people, you know, hearing a little bit about those issues, and about how the campaign is trying to respond and ready ourselves, you know, for what we know is a long battle. But it's one that, you know, I think all of us that are gathered on this call this evening and so many people across this country are ready for and are stepping up to. And so, you know, I just want to, you know, appreciate the work that people are doing. I know that Reverend Barbara sends his regards. We're having technical difficulties and it's not possible for him to be on, but people can, you know, tune in when we gather, on December 5th, and we'll share, you know, more of our plans and our analysis then. And again, as I was saying before, you know, really want to encourage folks to follow what's happening in states across the country, because really there's amazing work. There's, you know, important solidarity happening in California between folks on the border and folks made homeless by the wildfires. There's really important work in Kentucky where, you know, former coal miners and folks living in cities are coming together and fighting for what's right. There's a series of trials that are still taking place in Michigan after the 40 days of action where they're lifting up the problem of poison water and the lack of water. And there's, you know, a nonviolent Medicaid army that's rising up in Pennsylvania, to win healthcare for all and housing and education and everything. And so there really is, some very good news in the midst of this, dark and dangerous time that we're living in. And so, you know, we appreciate people's, time and leadership and want to, you know, just, you know, kind of close out there and thank people for tuning in. We will, you know, continue to send out more information, you know, and keep people posted. Shally, I don't know if you have other things to say or if that's good.
I think we're right. Good. Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining us and please stay tuned over email and social media for our next steps, both for December 5th, but as we move forward. Should we close out with a chant, Poor People's Campaign?
Right. Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. Forward together, not one step back.